Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, how did Michael Stolowitzky first travel to Israel? Michael Stolowitzky was born in Warsaw in 1936, the only son of a wealthy Jewish family. When the Nazis invaded Poland, his father was trapped in Paris, where he had traveled to try to settle his business affairs, leaving Michael in the care of his mother and devoted Catholic nanny, Gertruda Bablinska. When Michael's mother suffered a stroke, Gertruda promised her that she would raise the boy as her own son, always keeping his Jewish identity, and take him to Palestine. Ram Oren is a best-selling Israeli author, most of whose books are in the detective fiction genre. When he heard about Michael's story, he tracked him down to New York, where he now lives. With Michael's invaluable assistance, as well as his own independent research, Oren wrote Gertruda's Oath, A Child, A Promise, and A Heroic Escape During World War II, which tells the gripping story of that journey. The book also tells a parallel story, that of Karl Rink, a German SS officer, who made it his mission to save Jews after his own Jewish wife was murdered, and Rink's daughter Helga. Gertruda's Oath was originally published in Israel in 2007, and since then has been translated into 8 languages. While the events described in the book are true, it reads like an adventure novel, including many conversations, and also has photos from Stolowitzky's own collection. It's a very readable book which does not deal with the horrors of the ghettos or the camps that we're accustomed to finding in Holocaust-themed books. I think that maybe paradoxically this is what makes Gertruda's Oath extremely powerful, but at the same time not upsetting, so it's suitable for young people as well as adults. Once I started it, I couldn't put it down, and I highly recommend it to all our listeners. After living in Israel for many years, Michael Stolowitzky relocated to New York. Since the publication of the book, he has traveled to many parts of the United States, as well as other countries, to speak about his experiences with many different types of audiences, including elementary and high school students. Thank you very much for speaking with us today. The first thing I would like to ask you is how much you actually remember of what happened, because when the Nazis invaded Poland, you were only 3, and the whole story of the book is your escape and you're ending up in Israel. How much do you really remember of this?
Well, you know, when I used to live in Israel years ago, I was in the Israeli army, and I participated in the Six-Day War. So you go to war Sunday, you come back Saturday, the war is over. You have to remember that the war, Second World War, was 5.5 years. Yes, I was 4 years old, and then by the time the war was ending, I was 9 years old. Now, when you're 9 years old, or 8 years old, or even 7 years old, you remember. Now, you don't remember every day, but if you read the book, there are certain such a dramatic scenes that you cannot forget. It like happened yesterday. So whatever I remembered, I said the rest of the things is a lot of things I got from Gertruda, because she lived with me all my life, all my adult life, till she passed away. So she told me a lot of things, you know, and my cousin and my other family members. But as far as memories, it's so dramatic that every day was something that I remembered. Not all of it, because of course not, as a child, I don't. But those things, you know, it's hard not to remember.
Tell us about Gertruda, because she must have been an extraordinary woman.
As we say with my sense of humor, you know, I always use my sense of humor. They don't make them like this anymore. Gertruda was an angel. I call her my mother because my mother I don't remember. And she died, passed away. But all our life we have been together. We were together through the war. We were together in the camps and in the exodus and all the adult life in Israel. And she was always so good, not only to me, but to all the people, all the Jews in Israel, wherever, whoever she met, the word no does not exist in her lexicon. She always helped everybody. And as far as, listen, I'm sitting here with you today because of her. If she wouldn't have been around, you would have been talking to yourself. So I'm here. She gave me my life. And thanks God that I grew up and I started to work and I could. You can never pay what she did for me. There is no money in the world. The fact that our book that came out now in Spain is already in 10 countries, and I'm traveling in all these countries you're talking. So I keep her name alive because I want people to know that not everybody was bad. There were good people, and I wish there were more good people like this. But to me, this is the closest I will ever come to an angel.
Without telling the whole story, can you briefly tell us how she did this? Because it's just amazing. I mean, the Nazis were there. How did she manage to get you to Israel? Just very briefly.
By the book. Now, she spoke German. She's from Danzig, Starogard, a little town next to Danzig. Gdansk. The fact that she spoke German, it helped a lot. She could speak to the German whenever they came at night to look for Jews. She said, "Oh no, we are Catholic," and I will never forget her eyes when they walked into my room, and the fear in her eyes that the Germans will not raise the blanket and find out the little boy chick over there is a Jewish boy. And she's a very powerful woman, because you must be strong and powerful in order to do what she did. And then she had the help of the church. You know, she came to the priest and she confessed at the end that she could not, she's afraid that the Germans will find out. So I became an altar boy. She put me in the church and I became an altar boy. Could you imagine me spraying holy water on the SS people? Anyway, it's by the book.
Could you tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up in Yafo and how Gertruda fit in, because she was in an atmosphere that was completely foreign to her by then?
Yes, she was in an atmosphere that was completely foreign to her, but then again, all her life, she went to the same situation where everything was foreign in the beginning. She adapted very quickly. People loved her in Israel because she was immediately known, because she planted a tree in 1962. She already planted a tree in Yad Vashem. And she helped all the neighbors, you know, and people loved her. And she was, every Yom HaShoah, she was sitting on a stage next to the president of Israel, you know, as one of the righteous of the nations. She went to work. She cleaned houses to give me education. You see, I gave up my rich family in Israel because they were stupid. They wanted her to go back home. They thanked her for saving me and now go back home. You know, it's a Jewish state. You know, we don't need that. You know, you will not feel at home. So being 12 years old, I turned my back to my family and to the money and to everything. And we started from scratch in Jaffa. And she cleaned houses for rich people, and she gave me education. And thanks God, later on, I grew up, and she didn't have to do it anymore.
But they did send you to a boarding school. How did you feel about that?
Oh, it was one of the most famous schools in Israel, Ben Shemin. And a lot of the president of Israel today, Shimon Peres, he was a student there, not in my time, before me. And I felt very good, but every Saturday she used to come on a truck with other parents to visit me.
Was that better than going to just a local school?
It's not a question of better. I went to a local school in the beginning, but this was a very good school and she wanted to give me the best. So I just got it.
You must have missed her.
I missed her very much, but I was young then, you know. But as I said, every Saturday she came, she brought me little chocolate, little cookies. And yes, you know, life went on 50 years later. When she was in the old age home in Nahariya in Israel, I used to come to her and she was waiting for me, and I used to bring her chocolate and little cookies. That's how the wheel is turning.
Family, that's family.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the other story that's in the book, the story of Karl Rink?
Well, I don't want to reveal too much.
No. Don't reveal too much.
I just want to tell you one situation. Me and my mother, and when I say mother, it's Gertruda. Mm-hmm. That's it, all my life. Walking in Vilna during the war. One afternoon, four German soldiers come with guns, point at us, and two of them come to me and say to me, little boy, take off your pants, in a German word, in German, Hosen runter. And of course I held my pants, and she said in German to them, this is my son, he's not Jewish, he's Catholic like me. And then I was blonde with curly hair, and they said, take down your pants, and they were pointing the guns, and they came, two of the soldiers came to me, and we was trying to pull my pants down. And I knew I had a second to live. Second. Me and her. And at that precise moment, there was a voice coming from a little street in the shadow. Leave the boy alone. He is not Jewish. And out comes an SS officer, German, in the uniform. And they see him, they salute him, and they walk away. And the SS officer comes, and my mother comes to him and says to him in German, excuse me, sir, what is your name? And he says, my name is Karl Ring. Now, you dying to know who Karl Ring is? Buy the book.
Have you ever been back? You were originally from Warsaw. Have you been back there for any period of time? Did you remember any of it?
Yes, first of all, my house still stands in the famous street of Aleja Ujazdowska. Aleja Ujazdowska is like the Fifth Avenue in New York, facing the Chopin Park, and we are facing the Central Park here. So, yes, when I worked for American Express about 20 years or so, on business, I went a lot. So, yes, I walked, I went to the church where you know, but remember, all my war was spent in Vilna, not in Warsaw. So when I left Warsaw, I was too young to remember. So only from the stories, what my mother told me, I identified the places where I went when I came back.
Can you tell us a little bit about Ram Oren, the writer of the book?
Well, Ram Oren is a very known writer in Israel. He is, as I call him, the John Grisham of Israel. He wanted to write a book about the ship, The Exodus. And he was researching it for about a year and a half. And then somebody told him that there was on the ship a Jewish boy with a Catholic lady. And he was 6 months trying to find out, where are we, who are we. Then he located me in New York, and he called, and I spoke to him on the phone. And he says, are you coming to Israel? Bring everything what you have about you and your mother, you know. Papers, documents, picture, whatever. So all the pictures that you see on my book, on the cover and inside, it's all my books, all my pictures. And I will write, he says, I will write about two, three lines in the book about you. I say, oh, thank you very much, sir, very much. I appreciate it. So I come to Israel 3 weeks later, and we sit in my hotel. And after 6 hours of me telling him everything and showing him everything, he stops and says, the book is not going to be about the Exodus. There are already 27 books written about it, and nobody will touch it. The book is going to be about Gertruda and you. That's the story.
I know that you have spoken with children's groups and with other groups in the United States about the story. Do you do that a lot?
Yes, I do that quite a lot. I was now from all places. I was now in Birmingham, Alabama. I did two things there. Number one was the JCC, the Jewish Center. They were prepared seats in the evening for about 60 people. And I came in, and there were 600 people. So they were all parked on the grass all over the place. And the next day, they brought few schools to the auditorium together. But the condition was that all the kids will buy and read the book before I come. So when I come, for them it was like, wow. And there were kids from all over. There were black kids. And the people, the first time they see somebody who lived during the Holocaust. They think it's a 200-year-old man that I'm going to be carried on stage. All of a sudden, I come and tell them one and two, and what you're going to do. So they, I killed them. And then, yes, for me, it's important because the young generation, this book, it's readable. They love to read it. And this is how they're going to learn about it. They will never pick up a Holocaust book, you know, with all the horrors. So I'm doing my 5 cents in order to make the younger generation, and the same thing I'm doing in Germany. I speak German. The book is out in Germany. And one of the questions they always ask me, there was always somebody gets up, says, are you still coming to Germany after all that? You know, and what do you think about Germans? So I told them my opinion is that I'm very optimistic. The generations that did it, there's no longer around. Maybe one or two will still live. And I will not blame the new generations for things that they have not done. So, yes, I'm coming. And it's important, especially in Germany, that the younger people will know what happened 2 generations back.
No, and as you say, the book is very, very readable because it reads almost like a novel because there are a lot of conversations.
It is a novel in a way. It is. Listen, it's a novel, but it's a true novel. You know what I mean? Wait till the movie will come out.
Is there a movie in the works?
A lot of talking, but right now I'm having every 6 months a new book in a different country. Let it spread around, then the movie will come.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
Oh, no, I can sit here with you until Hanukkah, you know what I mean, Christmas. No, I think we touched it. You heard my voice. The listeners will hear my voice. And do you want to see my picture, see how good looking I am? Buy the book.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure, and I hope that your listeners will enjoy it.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.